Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online as well at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. You can also find archives of the program there and all of our programs here on KPCG in case you miss one and you want to go back and listen to them. Now, just stop for a moment and consider how amazing technology really is. We've seen such advancements in technology in recent years. I mean, this radio program, for example, is recorded in our KPCG studios in Edmond, Oklahoma, here on the campus of Herbert W. Armstrong College. And from this location, it plays over the radio in central Oklahoma. But much more than that, it's heard online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com around the world. If you can get the internet, you can get this program, you can get kpcg.fm, you can get thetrumpet.com. And the podcasts of these programs can be downloaded. You could take it into the deepest part of the jungle and listen to it on a device as long as you had it charged and ready to go. It's really amazing what technology can do. You can take God's message almost anywhere. But there's some bad messages out there too. Now, the internet especially is very new technology, and for those that are a bit older, clearly we can remember sending letters and not text messages. We can remember having just one phone probably connected to the wall in our homes, and we even remember using payphones and putting quarters in them to call people. That wasn't that long ago. The technology has really changed, especially with the internet. And again, messages can be sent anywhere very quickly. But what is the content of the message? Is it valuable? Is it good? Is it helpful? Or is it bad? New technology has opened up wonderful opportunities, and yet at the same time, it has given people access to appalling evils. On the program today, let's look at the messages that are being sent through this amazing technology. God is sending a message out, and so is Satan. Can you discern the difference? Now, God is broadcasting his message today to those willing to hear it via TV, radio, print, and the internet. But Satan, he's broadcasting his message as well. Notice what Mr. Gerald Fleury wrote in lesson number 4 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. He wrote this: "Today, the mass media revolve around sports and entertainment, including vile music and pornography. It's all about making money regardless of any damage to our people. And it is inspired by the God of this world. Humanity is receiving the wrong message." So humanity, by and large, is receiving the message of the God of this world. Let's take a look at that scripture. If you have a Bible, please look at this scripture with me. We'll see what the Bible says about the broadcaster going to this world, the God of this world. We'll see this in 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll look at verses 3 and 4. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." God of this world, of course, if you're reading that passage, you notice that it's a small g for the God of this world. That's Satan the devil, the God of this world. Can you believe that? He's the actual God of this world. People worship him and they don't know it. They think they're worshiping the true God, but they're worshiping the God of this world and eating up his message. We see a battle here between two messages: the true gospel, the good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God, ruled by the government of God, That message is hid from most of the world. Why? Well, it says, because the God of this world has blinded their minds. Have you ever tried to concentrate on two things at a time? It's difficult to do. Sometimes maybe we try to convince ourselves that we can do it, we can multitask, but it's hard to do. We can't do it very effectively. And it's the same with these two competing messages. We can't listen to Satan's message and listen to God's message, and vice versa. If our minds are full of God's message, we don't have room for Satan's message. But what message are we allowing into our minds? There's a battle between two messages. The God of this world has blinded the minds of most people. Could that happen to you? Could that happen to me? Could our minds be blinded? Let's consider something in Genesis 3. Genesis 3, very well-known passages, but so much information, such a depth of knowledge in these passages and revelation. Genesis 3, it says, starting in verse 1, "Now the serpent," of course this is Satan, "was more subtle than any beast of the field which the eternal God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So she was a little bit of an attitude here, to say the least. Can't even touch it. Verse 4 says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die." Well, he told her a lie. Verse 5 says, Satan said, "For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And verse 6, "And when the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, she ate it, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." It looked pretty good. It pleased her senses. And then in verse 7, finally it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." So some points to notice here. As the scriptures point out, Satan is very subtle. He can come in a very subtle way to where you don't even notice it. He casts doubt on God's truth. Oh, did God really say that? Oh, do you really believe that? Do you think that's what the Bible says? You think that's true? You think that's a true story? He casts doubt on God's truth. He flat out lies. He's a liar and the father of it. He said they wouldn't die. Have you seen Adam and Eve lately? They're dead. They did die. And he tempts toward wrong thought and action by appealing to the five senses. I mean, Eve looked at the fruit and looked at the tree. She said, "It looks pretty good." It looks pretty good. But of course, it caused many, many problems, and it caused them to sin and be cut off from God and to die. And of course, also, while Adam and Eve's eyes were opened in that they began to decide for themselves what they thought was right and wrong, to be as gods, we'll decide, they said, their minds were blinded to God's revelation of what is actually right and wrong. There's a lot of opinion about what is right and wrong, but how about the truth of what is right and what is wrong? Satan was broadcasting to them, and now here, very specifically, very directly, face-to-face with Eve. Now think about how startled you would be if Satan approached you directly. That'd be startling, wouldn't it? But stop and think for a second. He does approach each of us directly if we turn on his message, if we turn on his music, watch his movies, visit his websites. Satan broadcasts through wrong types of mass media and through negative emotions and attitudes as well. The air is surcharged with those negative thoughts and attitudes and emotions, and we're susceptible to those. But they're also put into songs, they're put into movies, they're put into TV shows, they're put into images and words on the internet. Mr. Fleury wrote that America and Britain have the best technology in the world. We are better equipped than any nation has ever been to deliver a message. But our message to the world is dominated by the worst pornographic filth humanity has ever seen. It is America's number one worldwide business, and depraved music is our number two export. You know that. Even if you're not immersed in it, I mean, you understand that it's out there. And Mr. Fleury went on to mention how years ago when the Soviet Union was very strong before Vladimir Putin came along and kind of strengthened it here again, but years ago in the Cold War when they were very strong, the Japanese were asked who they feared the most. Who do you fear? And they said, well, we fear Russia militarily, but they feared America culturally. They feared what America was doing with their culture. And of course, America's culture has gotten worse today. And we broadcast it to the world. All this great technology, this great ability to broadcast a message, and yet look at the message that's being broadcast. Remember, Satan is the god of this world. He broadcasts, and he broadcasts in mass media if it's the wrong message that's being sent. So our job is to tune out Satan's message. Tune it out and tune into God's message. And more than that, we need to support God's message. That's the only message that gives hope to this world. But sadly, most today are thoroughly engrossed in the message of this world. And of course, remember, Satan is the god of this world. It's his message. So again, how tuned in are you to Satan's message? If you're a parent, how about your children? As parents, which I am one, these are questions that we do need to ask, because they very much latch on to the wrong message, if it's available. It's really interesting, the statistics that are out there, especially with young people. These are some consumption statistics relating to children as far as media consumption. It's from techaddiction.ca. They've done some studies. In a typical day, children consume just over 3 hours of media. 3 hours of media. What message is in that media? It could be really good, but it could be really bad. Now, this includes computer use, cell phone use, tablet use, music, and reading. 2/3 of this time is spent with screen media, TV, computers, and internet. Reading is less than 20 minutes per day. No surprise. When's the last time you saw a child reading a book? It's been a while, just in terms of going out in public. The time spent with on-screen media dramatically increases from the toddler to preschool to school age years. Children under 2 have a screen time average of 53 minutes per day. This increases to almost 2.5 hours per day among 2 to 4-year-olds, and almost 3 hours for kids in 5 to 8-year-old range. 3 hours of mass media coming to the children. Could be in the form of video games, could be in the form of music, could be movies, television shows. What's the message? What's the message that's being sent? It is amazing to think about what's happening to the children's minds and adults as well. What message is being sent? When we return, we'll look more closely at how Satan broadcasts. We can't be ignorant of this. And how we can tune it out. That's what we need to know, and that's what we need to do. We'll look at that right after this. You're listening to 101.3 KPCG. This is Live by Every Word. We'll be right back.
Herbert Armstrong often said it was more difficult to unlearn an erroneous supposed truth than it is to learn a new truth. Even after 58 years of faithfully serving God, he had not fully and clearly realized the significance of the fact revealed in Genesis 3, 22-24, that, in fact, God had closed the Holy Spirit and eternal life to mankind in general, until the removal of Satan at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Traditional Christian teaching has always assumed there is a contest between God and Satan, that God has been trying desperately to get the world saved. In other words, God had sent Jesus Christ at his first coming to try to win this ongoing war against Satan. Traditional Christianity has taught that whosoever will may come and be saved through Jesus. For many years, Mr. Armstrong partially realized the error of this assumption, but the full truth on this point did not come crystal clear to his mind until the last few years of his life. This truth, fully explained in Mystery of the Ages, is indeed mind-boggling. This book clears what has been fully clouded in mystery. It will open your eyes to the truth of these long-hidden mysteries. This enlightening volume thoroughly explains precisely what the Bible says about the seven great mysteries of life. It is free upon request. For more, visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. How does Satan broadcast to people? And what does he broadcast, and are you affected by these broadcasts? Notice how Satan broadcasts, very clearly revealed in the Bible. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, it says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." There's a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air broadcast, and that's Satan. Mr. Armstrong wrote this in Mystery of the Ages. He says, "Satan is called the prince of the power of the air, working inside the minds of people. I could never have understood this until, number one, I had understood how radio and television sounds and pictures are transmitted through the air." Now, keep in mind, this is pre-internet, so the internet is the same thing today. And number two, he said, "I had learned the truth about the human spirit in the human brain. If your radio is set on the proper radio wavelength or television set is tuned to the proper channel, the broadcaster's message comes through clearly. Satan, as prince of the power of the air, broadcasts, not in words, sounds, or pictures, but in attitudes, moods, and impulses." And then, of course, those attitudes, moods, and impulses are then converted by people into music, into movies, into television programs, and then in effect they do become very much visual messages or audio messages. But it starts with attitudes and moods and impulses. And this was written back when radio and television were the main means of getting a message around as far as broadcasting goes. What about the internet today? If you have a smartphone, if your child has a smartphone, you have the whole world of information in the palm of your hand. And the majority of it is bad. The majority of it is right from the prince of the power of the air. You know, people didn't carry around TVs. I guess you could get a little portable one, but that would not be carried around too often. Or you could get a portable stereo, of course. But nowadays, you can carry everything in the palm of your hand. Great power, chance to spread a message that's important, God's message, and to receive it, but also a chance for a very negative message to be spread. So we have to pay attention to what messages we're letting into our minds. What does Satan broadcast? Well, again, notice what Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages. And again, you can get this book at thetrumpet.com. It's vital, and it's free. He writes here about Lucifer sinning and becoming Satan. He said he was created gloriously beautiful, perfect in beauty, but he allowed vanity to seize him. Just stop and think about that, vanity. Is that message broadcast today? Is there vanity? But that's the whole culture, right? Isn't it? The look at me culture, the vanity. It's growing more and more and more. There's an attitude and a spirit that we see everywhere. That's the theme of a lot of music. Look at me. Look what I have. Look at how good I am. I'm better than this person. Vanity. And it all comes from the prince of the power of the air. It says he allowed vanity to seize him. Then he turned to erroneous reasoning. God's law, the basis of God's government, is the way of love, outgoing concern for the good and welfare of others, love toward God and obedience, humility and worship, the way of giving, sharing, helping, cooperating. Do you hear those messages in popular music today? Giving, sharing, helping, cooperating? I suppose maybe there's some, as they would call them, love songs that people might think have some of that in there, but I would tend to think there's not much of it. There's a lot of vanity in the broadcasting. And, of course, that comes from Satan, the prince of the power of the air. He became vain, and he broadcasts vanity today. Mr. Armstrong continues, he reasoned that competition would be better than cooperation. It would be an incentive to excel, to try harder, to accomplish. There would be more pleasure in serving self and more enjoyment. Serving self, that's a message that's broadcast today. He continues, he turned against God's law of love. He became jealous of God, envious and resentful against God. He allowed lust and greed to fill him, and he became bitter. This inspired a spirit of violence. He deliberately became his maker's adversary and enemy. That was his choice, not God's, yet allowed by God. God changed the adversary's name to what he became, Satan the devil. Satan means adversary, competitor, enemy. Now think about some of those moods and attitudes described there, and think about them in terms of a lot of what comes out in the media today, through music, through movies, in video games, in all kinds of ways. Do you see jealousy? Do you see envy? Lust, greed, violence, bitterness? Yes, I think we would all agree that we see a lot of that out there. Finally, Mr. Armstrong said, Satan directed his supernatural powers henceforth to evil. He became bitter, not only against God, but against God's law. He used his subtle wiles. Remember, he's subtle. We read that in Genesis 3. Subtle wiles of deception to lead the angels under him into disloyalty, rebellion and revolt against the Creator, and finally into a war of aggression and violence to attempt to depose God and seize the throne of the universe. That's what Satan did, and he broadcasts that same attitude today. Notice Isaiah 14. This is verse 12, Isaiah 14. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Vanity and rebellion against God's authority. Really any authority. That was his attitude. And that's the same attitude that's permeating the world today and the mass media. It's the message that comes out in so much of the music and the movies and so forth. Vanity, rebellion against authority. So how do we tune out that broadcast? How do we tune it out? There's a way to do it. Notice James 4. James 4, verses 7. Through 10. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can actually make Satan flee from you. You can make his broadcast go away by submitting yourself, therefore, to God, really tuning into God's message, filling your mind with it, and then resisting Satan and his message, and Satan will flee from you. Hard to focus on two things at one time. Verse 8 says, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, we can't be double-minded. You know, where we kind of like God's message, but then we kind of like Satan's message too. Be afflicted, it says, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Talking about repenting here. And it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Satan has vanity. God says, humble yourself. Be different. Think differently. See, we can use technology to consume more and more of God's message, draw near to God, or we can use it to consume more and more of Satan's message. We don't want to be double-minded here. The choice is up to each of us individually. Amazing technology available today. Wonderful technology. Awesome technology. But what are we going to use it for? Are we going to use it to consume more of God's word and to hunger and thirst after righteousness and then support God's message of getting that message out to the world? Or are we going to consume more and more of Satan's message? We are what we think. And whatever we allow into our minds, that's what we do. Mr. Fleury writes this, "The magnitude of the opportunity offered by our unparalleled technology makes our nation's failure to take advantage of it incomparably disastrous. The whole world suffers mightily because of that failure. Never has there been a greater need for God's message of hope. We must give this world the only message that really matters. We will show them how to use the media." We have to show people how to use the media the right way. And that's by using it correctly ourselves today. It's a great time to visit thetrumpet.com and see all that wonderful message that God has for free, and it's available 24/7 anywhere that you live around the world. That's all the time we have for today on Live by Every Word. Thanks for joining me. I'm Dwight Falk. Make sure you do stop and check out thetrumpet.com and also kpcg.fm. Plenty of great material to listen to watch, and to read. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.